Radio Prague News.
The new justice minister has cast doubt on the appointment of corruption prosecutor Lenka Bradáčová as Prague High State Attorney. The president has signed a law allowing the army to use radio scramblers, and heavy storms and torrential rain have caused numerous problems in the northern parts of the country. President Václav Klaus confirmed Deputy Chairman of the Civic Democratic Party, Pavel Blažek, as the country's new justice minister in a ceremony at Prague Castle on Tuesday morning. In a speech, Mr. Blažek cast doubt on any appointment of Lenka Bradáčová, a highly respected prosecutor and anti-corruption crusader, to the post of Prague High State Attorney. The new minister said he would not be taking orders from the Supreme State Attorney or following in the footsteps of his predecessor, both of whom he insinuated were controlled by regional politicians. Pavel Blažek replaces Jiří Pospíšil, whom the prime minister controversially sacked last week, criticizing him of poor financial management. However, many have speculated that the decision was actually meant to block the imminent appointment of Bradáčová. The president has signed an amendment to the Armed Services Act that will allow the army to use radio scramblers for training purposes. According to the new law, the devices can only be used under set conditions and when necessary for training, particularly for foreign missions. The same law also simplifies the sending of planes with humanitarian aid, which can now be decided on by the Defense Ministry rather than the entire government. Heavy storms and torrential rain overnight are reported to have caused numerous problems in the northern parts of the country. High winds brought down power lines in Trutnov, Náchod and Hradec Králové, leaving hundreds of people without electricity. A number of smaller roads have had to be closed down due to local flooding, and cellars were inundated. No injuries were reported. More storms of equal intensity are expected Tuesday night. The zoo in Liberec is now home to three baby white tigers. The rare cubs were born to their four-year-old mother on Sunday morning. The births mark only the second successful attempt at breeding white tigers, the last having been 10 years ago. The same animal bore three cubs last year but failed to care for them, and the breeders did not intervene and allowed the tigress to learn on her own, a decision they say Sunday's birth proved to be the right one. The zoo's tiger pavilion has been closed to the public as a precaution, but can be watched on a television screen elsewhere in the zoo. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions should be mostly cloudy with scattered showers and heat storms, daytime highs of 24 to 28 degrees Celsius. My name is Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, the president appoints a new justice minister to office. What are the challenges ahead for Pavel Blažek? And Czech tourism has unveiled a controversial new logo. Find out if you like it or hate it. Later on in Spotlight, we'll visit the Church of St. Jan Nepomuk in Žďár nad Sázavou, and we'll end the show with a Czech lesson as usual. So do please stay with us. The new Justice Minister, Pavel Blažek, was sworn in by President Václav Klaus on Tuesday in a ceremony at Prague Castle, also attended by Prime Minister Petr Nečas. The relationship between Blažek and fellow Civic Democrat Nečas and the ability of the former to carry out his job independently will undoubtedly be at the heart of assessments of the new Justice Minister's performance. Dominik Jun has this report.
I subscribe to what theories of modern democracy call constitutional liberalism. That means that in the first place, across the spectrum of the state, placing the rights of the individual and their protection, albeit tied to certain legal norms which must be respected, and also adhering to what for 200 years legal theory has described as the strict separation of powers.
Lofty words there from new Justice Minister Pavel Blažek, spoken to President Klaus on the occasion of his swearing in on Tuesday morning. but a litany of complex challenges awaits the new justice minister. The 43-year-old Brno lawyer has served his Civic Democratic Party for several years, climbing up the ranks from city councillor to vice chairman of the party. But despite rising to the inner circles of power within ODS, some even within his own party have dubbed him the Invisible Man for his low profile and hitherto shunning of the media spotlight. But now all eyes are on Blažek as he takes over from his predecessor at the ministry, Jiří Pospíšil, who was controversially sacked from his post by the PM at the end of June. The move even led to rare demonstrations by around 600 students and other Czechs opposing the ouster of a popular figure in the cabinet. Critics of the decision charged that the powers that be were frightened by the possibility that Pospíšil was preparing to accede to a recommendation by the Supreme State Attorney and appoint Lenka Bradáčová as Prague High State Attorney, a key position in terms of tackling crime and corruption in the Czech Republic. The PM has vigorously denied this and claimed that managerial matters were in fact behind the dismissal. Bradáčová, a scrupulously honest attorney who has proved relentless in her anti-corruption crusade, would replace Vlastimil Rampula, who earned a nickname in the Czech media as a man who swept crucial corruption cases, often involving shady government tenders, under the rug. Thus, all eyes will be on Blažek for one crucial decision that many believe will understate whether he will function as a stooge of a Civic Democrat Party clique and not appoint Bradáčová as his predecessor intended to, or perhaps upset those behind his appointment to the post and carry out the appointment anyway. In a recent interview with Mladá fronta Dnes, Blažek insisted that there has been no pressure from Nečas or from any other Civic Democrats to go with someone else. In a recent interview with Czech television, Senate President and fellow Civic Democrat Přemysl Sobotka praised the pick.
He is a very good politician and an expert in his field, so I believe that he will manage to run the ministry without any problems.
However, Social Democrat Senator Jiří Dienstbier expressed concerns being echoed by many.
We will see if he comes into the position merely as an ambassador of those circles who are seeking to block reforms in our justice system.
But other challenges are faced by the justice ministry too. While PM Nečas continues to emphasize austerity and cutbacks, former minister Pospíšil has sought an increase in his ministry's budget of 1 billion crowns in order to help tackle chronic overcrowding in Czech prisons, currently running at around 24,000 people. In an interview with Czech television, MP Stanislav Polčák, a member of TOP 09, which is a member of the current government coalition, Constitutional Legislative Council, suggested that savings could be found.
It may sound somewhat paradoxical, but it may be possible to find large savings in the prison service because the Czech Republic really has a large number of people behind bars. I think the overall prison system needs to be very closely looked at. Also, reforms to fully computerize the justice system are also crucial, as today it remains far too bureaucratic and based too much on filling out forms rather than looking for justice.
The ensuing battles over just which path forward the justice ministry will take will undoubtedly determine whether Blažek is viewed as a success or a failure.
Dominic Yoon with that report. Innovative, refreshing, cool, but also shallow, dumb, and an outright travesty. Since its release roughly a week ago, the new logo of Czech tourism has almost become a sort of Czech Marmite, receiving both very positive as well as mocking remarks from critics and the wider public. Tom McEncrow has the story.
The new logo ditches the old picture with a flag and instead uses a simple pun. The name of the Czech Republic, with the last three letters of Republic, being replaced by the phonetically similar English like, underlined in red. The result, Czech Republic, makes use of Facebook's internationally famous button and urges tourists to visit the country, which they will surely like. The CEO of Marvel, the company that designed the logo, Pavel Zelenka, sees it as a simple yet flexible concept that makes use of the current boom in social networking and says the logo's pun is aimed at younger generations.
It's formally very simple and it can be easily used in various application, and it boosts creativity and ideas. The campaign is primarily aimed for naturally curious people up to 45 years. That's also the reason why we employed like concept in it, because there is, let's say, a Facebook generation.
But isn't this too narrow an audience to focus on? People in their teens and mid-20s suddenly liked it, as I found out when I interviewed some tourists on the ever-busy streets of our capital.
Yes, this one is nice.
And do you get the pun, like the joke? Like
a joke, okay, yes, I get it. Because yeah. It's like and Republic. Yes, this is fine.
Well, this is something I would see on Facebook.
Yeah. Do you think it's a good idea?
It'd make a good t-shirt.
Most tourists from the older generations, however, didn't get it and merely saw a multicoloured text. Last but not least, there is also the question of whether tourists who aren't from an English-speaking country and use Facebook will get the full meaning of the word like. The French version of it, for example, j'aime, sounds very different, and the French do tend to be rather touchy about their language. But Zelenka, as well as Czech Tourism's approval committee, insist their work is done and see the Anglicism as a bridge rather than a barrier.
About 85% of the communication will be in English. That's what we know for sure. And we will have to cope with this, let's say, cultural differences. But I'm sure that Facebook helped to make the word like to be sort of Esperanto of our era. So even people who don't speak English, they know what it means.
Pavel Zelenka, as well as his team, are suddenly proud of their work and rebuff critics by stressing that what they were asked to create was not a new national coat of arms or flag, but merely a logo to help give Czech tourism a trendy face.
You should always remember that we did not develop a new state symbol or a new flag. We designed a marketing logo.
So will the new logo help tourism in Czech Republic to flourish? Will the market punt sell? Well, in its short lifespan of only 1 week, it has already received much greater attention than one would normally expect from a logo. It certainly isn't what most people expected. But then, when Skoda came up with an arrow in an Indian headband in 1926, no one expected it to become one of the most admired logos in the world.
So, cool or dumb, write and tell us how you like the new tourist logo. The address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it is now time to go places. Today, Christian Falvey will take you to the Church of St. Jan Nepomuk in Žďár nad Sázavou.
The Pilgrimage Church of St. Jan of Nepomuk is a unique work of Czech-Italian architect Jan Santini Eichel, who was known for using unlikely combinations of Baroque and Gothic styles. Such a marvel is it that in 1994 it was included on the UNESCO list of World Heritage Sites. Its architecture was guided by symbols of the legend of the Czech Saint Jan of Nepomuk, one of the foremost saints of Central Europe, but also by the disciplines of the Kabbalah. Jan Santini Eichel had the good fortune of being a much sought-after artist of repute within his short lifetime. He only lived to the age of 46, but in that time he saw 60 of his designs constructed. Many of these structures can be found near the pilgrimage church in Žďár nad Sázavou, on the border of Bohemia and Moravia, and all of them are identifiable by their originality and masterful structural techniques. Santini was an expert in playing with contrasts of light and shadow, and he had an exceptional sense of spatial geometry. All of these skills were brought together in the pilgrimage church on Zelená Hora, which is perhaps first noticeable for its unique encircling wall in the shape of a 10-pointed star. As guide Maria Dubová says, though, sources show it was the local abbot rather than Santini himself who came up with that idea.
A to byl opat zdejšího cisterciáckého kláštera.
Václav Vejmula was the abbot of the Cistercians monastery here. He was not only very much a man of God, but also put to work a love of art and a talent for economic management. Once the abbot invited Santini to Zdjar na Cazavo, and they got along very well. They found that they were both practitioners of the Kabbalah, and they apparently got to talking. What emerged from their collaboration was a work that is unparalleled anywhere. The church is devoted to St. Jan of Nepomuk, but also to his story, and symbols of that story are everywhere on these grounds.
A právě jeho příběh a symboly jsou vneseny do celého areálu.
The saint in question was born Jan Velflin sometime in the 1340s in the Bohemian town of Pomuk, still called that in German but renamed in the negative Nepomuk in Czech for some reason. While celebrated throughout Central Europe from Italy to Lithuania even today, one of the only things we know about the life of Jan Velflin of Nepomuk is his death. As a middle-aged man, he became the vicar general to the Archbishop of Prague and got caught up in a political dispute, willingly or unwillingly, no one knows, between the Archbishop and King Wenceslaus IV and the Popes of Rome and Avignon. For siding with the Archbishop and the Roman Pope, he was tortured and tossed over the side of Charles Bridge in Prague. A crown of five stars was then said to appear over the river. The appearance of the stars was St. Jan's miracle, and they were said to have appeared above the church as well. The layout of the pilgrimage church is therefore also in the shape of a star, and there is a 10-pointed star on the vault, the number 10 being a symbol of cosmic order determined by divine providence. St. Jan of Nepomuk was revered as a saint straight after his death, but was not canonized for 300 years. When his body was exhumed around the turn of the 18th century, something was said to have fallen out of the skull that, upon closer inspection, was found to be an intact tongue, which then turned a vital pink. Jan of Nepomuk was made a saint, and work began on his church in Zdjar nad Sázavo, replete with symbols of stars and tongues.
Ambity okolo chrámu mají tvar deseticípé hvězdy, byly vyměřeny současně s chrámem.
Santini himself never saw the 10-pointed wall, which was completed 4 years after his death in 1723. Through the walls are 5 entryways, and in them are 5 chapels. Above the gates there were once 5 statues depicting priestly purity, but only 3 remain. The church itself is built in the shape of a 5-pointed star, also with 5 entryways, 5 chapels, 5 altars, and a pentagon on the original tile floor.
There are also symbols of a tongue and stars above the pulpit, which shows the scene recreated throughout Central European Renaissance art, with Jan of Nepomuk falling from Charles Bridge. On the altar, then, angels are lifting him back up to heaven. You can probably guess how many angels there are, but it gets a little more complicated than that.
It is not by accident that St. Jan is being carried off by 5 large angels and 3 cherubs. The combination of these numbers gives the age at which they believe Jan of Nepomuk died as a martyr, that is 53, according to sermons from the day that have been preserved. We don't actually know when he was born. His remains were last examined in 1972 and 73 by a leading anthropologist who determined that they belonged to a man around the age of 50.
The fascinating inspection of the body of St. Jan, by the way, both corroborated and refuted legends about the famous martyr. His bones actually revealed signs of violence, likely the torture that had allegedly been inflicted on him. The bad news for believers was the tongue wasn't a tongue. It was indeed an oddity, but it was actually a preserved piece of brain tissue. But back to the church, where symbols of brain tissue would likely have been mistaken for symbols of curving tongues anyway. There is not a single straight line anywhere in the floor plan. Everything is arranged in circular patterns. The light from the tongue-shaped windows leaves no part of the interior in shadow, and the radii of the circles are, of course, also not left to chance or simple pragmatism, but form multiples of a basic module of 12 cubits. The number 12 was said to be a divine number that was used for measuring things of God. There are 12 houses of the zodiac, which are ruled by the 12 most powerful angels. There were 12 stones in the ring of the high priest in the temple in Jerusalem, 12 stones garnishing the foundations of the holy city, 12 apostles chosen by the Lord. The measurements of the pilgrimage church symbolize 9 celestial spheres, making the grounds themselves celestial, brought up by the hill above the earth. Numerology, symbolism, and the esoteric aside, the pilgrimage church of St. Jan of Nepomuk is a very beautiful, graceful work of architecture. It was almost lost in 1794 when the nearby monastery was set on fire and a windstorm, it's believed, brought the flames to the church, destroying the roof. The same year, Emperor Josef II had the buildings closed down and the church was left an unprotected ruin. What is now treated as a national treasure, not even the bishop wanted to repair at that time, saying there was no need for it.
It was only 8 years later that a former monk named Bonifác Procházka began repairing it. After much tribulation, he was finally given permission, but only on the condition that he establish a cemetery on the grounds. Until then, there had never been a cemetery and the entire area was only for pilgrims. Now, once again, there are no funerals here. The graves are gradually transferred to a new cemetery, and by 2016 there should only be a park here. The church also looks as it first did, because the hill has been deforested. If you saw it 60 years ago, you wouldn't be able to see the church at all. It was hidden by the woods, and only a bit of the cross peeked out.
Only now can we see how the pilgrimage church of St. Jan of Nepomuk was supposed to look in its surroundings. Once again, it is a place of pilgrimage, with the main day of the year being the feast of its saint on May 16th.
That edition of Spotlight was with Christian Falvey. And now in the final part of today's programme, a Czech lesson from Pavla Horáková's popular ABC series, which Radio Prague is currently rebroadcasting.
Hello and welcome to the ABC of Czech, in which this season we discuss words and expressions related to Czech food and cuisine. Today's lesson's going to be a bit unusual, because for a different perspective I asked 3 of my foreign-born colleagues to tell us about their favourite Czech dishes or strongest culinary experiences in this country. I first put that question to Rob Cameron.
I don't actually eat much Czech food because I want to live beyond 40. But say my favourite dish, or perhaps the dish which is most unusual for us foreigners here, is the so-called smažák, or a smažený sýr, which, as you well know, translates as fried cheese. And it was the very, very first Czech dish I had, and I had it within about half an hour of arrival at Florence bus station in August 1992. At a little restaurant called Domenica, which is now a very posh Italian restaurant, but wasn't then. And I was presented with a plate of something square and deep fried in breadcrumbs, served with chips or French fries for our American listeners, and a big dollop of tartar sauce. And it was possibly one of the most amazing culinary experiences I've ever had in my life.
Radio Prague's Jan Wellinger was born in Canada, but as his parents are Czech, Jan was well familiar with Czech cuisine when he first arrived in this country.
My mom made Czech food quite on a regular basis, or quite often. And one of my favorites, one of those things that we didn't have too often, was bramborák, the Czech potato pancake. That was kind of a treat when we could have that. But we didn't have it too often because of all the work that it took to actually kind of grind all the potatoes down in the blender. To this day I love bramborák, and when you put the garlic in and the smell of it on the frying pan. But unfortunately it's something that I'm absolutely forbidden by my doctor to eat, so I don't eat bramborák anymore. But when I actually first came to the Czech Republic in 93, back then I still ate it, and I used to buy bramborák in some of the most horrible places, like Smíchovské nádraží, which is the train station in Smíchov, out of this little window coming out of the side from God knows where, under God knows what kind of hygienic conditions, so would never eat anything like that again.
And finally, I spoke to Brian Kennedy, who's originally from the United States.
I have to say that the worst meal I ever had was in neighboring Slovakia, and that was pasta with grunko, grunko being something like Nestle Quick sprinkled on top. So by comparison, I think the Czechs are doing it all right. But I remember in 1995 when I first came, and probably every third meal was smažený sýr, fried cheese with tartar sauce, French fries on the side, you know, very good for the heart, makes it work harder. Sounds disgusting, tastes great. But I remember being very depressed with the onset of winter and the disappearance of all vegetables from the shelves and the groceries. And it seemed everywhere were green tablecloths by this, issued for free by the Star Parman Brewery, and brown food, pork chops or some other kind of meat, potatoes, sauerkraut, green tablecloths, brown food. It was only later when I learned the truism, Czechs only cook for themselves, and discovered that, yes, Czechs do know how to cook at home, not in the restaurants.
Many thanks to Brian Kennedy, Jan Wellinger and Rob Cameron for sharing their culinary experiences with us. Till next time, dobrou chuť or bon appétit.
Pavla Horáková with ABC, and I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. You'll find us at radio.cz. All our programs are there in text and sound, plus a lot of interesting information about the Czech Republic. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.